The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God. Stay blessed.
The return of the inspired Word. This morning, the Lord showed me a big banner on which was written inspiration. I had started preparing my message previously, so I looked at that part of the message that God wanted to emphasize, and I realized that he had a very big connection with what we have to do this morning. I'll read two texts of scriptures for you. The first one comes from Isaiah chapter 55. My desire will be to start maybe from verse 7. And then I'll read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So Isaiah chapter 55 from verse 7, it says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." You can keep a bookmark here and turn with me into the New Testament and to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3, 16. 2 Timothy 3, 16. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God." All scripture, not some scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture. From Genesis chapter 1 all through to the book of Revelations, last verse, last sentence, last word. All scripture is given by a certain process. And the process is by inspiration of God. And what was the purpose for which it was given? And is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, in other words, for conviction, for helping the one who is in sin, for correction for the one who has erred and is departing from the faith, and for instruction in righteousness. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for conviction, and for rebuking of sin, and for correction, particularly for those who have deviated from the truth, and for instruction in righteousness. And the purpose is in verse 17. It says that the man of God, and that's referring to you and I, may be perfect and thoroughly furnished or equipped unto all good works. All scripture is given by inspiration. And what's the meaning of inspiration, because it is the process by which God gave the scriptures. The word inspiration means to breathe into, just like you blow or inflate a balloon. Number two, inspiration means divinely breathed. So this is not just an ordinary natural breath, but it is the breath of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created all things. And then on the sixth day, God created man when things were in place. And the Bible says God took the dust of the earth and formed, you know, his own image and likeness. And he breathed into the nostrils of man. In other words, that was an inspiration. And suddenly what was dust and clay became a living soul. So inspiration number two means divinely breathed. Number three, inspiration means sent, or what is giving. Whenever God wants to do something, he sends his word. He gives his word. So God always meets his people with an inspired word. And number four, inspiration means appointed from God, ordained from God, something that is the will of God that is sent to man to meet their need, or to establish them, or to help them fulfill a certain purpose in their lives. There are two kinds of inspiration. One, I call it Satan-inspired words. When Satan breathes some words into your mind or into your spirit, it is called satanic inspiration. That is why a man or woman may hear a voice to tell him or her that because you have been jilted and you have become so angry and jealous, go and attack your rival or your ex with a corrosive acid. Pour it upon them. The person heard something all right, but the voice that the person heard was that of the devil. It was an inspiration from the enemy. The Bible says at one time David was tempted to count or conduct a census on his army. The enemy tempted him so that he will have confidence in men rather than in the hand of God. In other words, Satan inspired David to count his soldiers, and God was displeased with him, and a kind of plague began to strike Israel. When one group of persons feel inclined that they must engage in ethnic cleansing so that they wipe away another ethnic group that they don't like, it must have come from an evil inspiration. It cannot be inspired of God, because God will not allow one person to destroy another person bearing the image of his. The second area where we see inspiration, and whenever we speak about Bible inspiration, that we are particularly referring to what is inspired by God. So the second one is God-inspired words. Divine inspiration is supernatural influence exerted by God on his word, and sometimes through his people. So divine inspiration is supernatural, beyond the natural, influence which is exerted by God on his word and sometimes through his people. This inspiration is intended to stimulate you. It may stimulate you spiritually, may stimulate you mentally, may even stimulate you emotionally to engage in something divine that falls in line with the purposes of God. You will notice that in ordinary life, just inhaling and exhaling, breathing in and breathing out can sustain your life. Breathing, taking oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide can simply keep your life going for a very long time. So in short, we say that inspiration provides life. Just as inspiration brings life, normal inhaling and exhaling sustains life. Similarly, when God breathes into you by His Spirit, His Word, it has the capacity to breathe life, more life into your life. The inspiration of God will make you buoyant. When you take a balloon and get it inflated and lift it to a certain height and it has support from the wind, it can float for distances before it even settles. You put cork in the bottom of water. By the time your hand comes to the surface, cork has taken the lead. It's already on the surface because cork has been designed to be buoyant. I want you to understand that God created us, and to achieve some things in life, you and I need to be buoyant in the Holy Spirit. You and I need to stay afloat. We stay afloat above the challenges of the time so we don't come under the oppression of the enemy. At one time when God made Josiah king over Israel, there was an interesting phenomenon. The word of God had been taken and hidden by some people somewhere. Then he decided to renovate the temple. And while they were clearing the things, he saw the word. The word had all the time been with them. The inspired word of God had been there, but they didn't know it. When they picked it up and started reading, they were inspired. Oh, come on. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Job said there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. So as God breathed into them, they began to understand, and Josiah said, oh, we have neglected to do the things of God. And just as they began to carry them out, God began to bless his administration and the people that he oversaw. So God's word is divinely revealed to men through inspiration. That inspiration, number one, makes the word pure. In other words, the word is inerrant. The word inspired cannot be wrong. Only the vessel that delivers it can have faults. But the word itself is not corrupt. It's pure. That word is the truth. It stands alone. It's inspired by God. Secondly, the fact that God breathed into that and inspired it is indicative of the authority of the word. You see, as a parent, your authority is to some extent. The mayor of the city has authority covering the city. And the president of the republic has authority covering the whole country. But God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and the whole universe, because he inspired his word, has authority over everything. Oh, somebody say amen. So the Bible says, forever, O Lord, that's Psalms 118, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The word has already been concluded. The word has already been agreed upon. The word about you has already been finished forever, O Lord. Thy word about our salvation, our deliverance, and our prosperity is settled in heaven. Oh, somebody say a big amen and put your hands together. The word about your future is settled in heaven. The word about that facet of your life is also settled. God is now not doing trial and error with you. You are not a guinea pig. God is not acting as if he's not sure. He's very sure. So he has settled it because he determined it ahead of time. So getting back to the scriptures in Isaiah chapter 55, you will notice in verse 10, it says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, my inspired word. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." Now, the Bible is bringing us to two things. That when you look at rain and snow, they come down from above. And what do they bring? They basically bring life. They water the earth. They nourish the earth. And they allow plants opportunity to draw nutrients from the soil in a maximum way. So they provide seed and they provide bread. So literally, rain and snow bring life to the earth. Similarly, the Bible is saying, my word is like rain. And if natural rain brings natural life, natural vegetation, natural seed, and natural bread to men, then my rain that comes by my spirit will bring spiritual rain and spiritual nourishment to the spiritual vegetation. And my rain shall bring life and make things buoyant in this life. Somebody say amen to that word. Secondly, God is saying that my word is that. But when I send the word, when my word goeth forth, then be sure that something will happen. Something good will happen. In other words, the inspired word must go forth. It will go forth. And the Bible says in verse 11 of Isaiah 55, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." Somebody shout inspired word, inspired word. It says, my word that goeth out of my mouth, my word which I declare, my word which comes through my own inspiration, the Lord says, those words shall not return void. Circle the word void. The word void means empty or ineffectual. Or worthless or vain. So shall my word that goes out of my mouth, it shall not return empty. It shall not return empty. There was a time that an aircraft was flying a particular route. The aircraft will go full, and when it's coming, it will come back virtually empty. That airline stopped flying that route. Because you expect that when the aircraft goes with people, it must come back with people so that you break even or make some profit in business. It is frustrating for something to go full and to return with nothing. And God says, my word will go full and come back even full. Oh, come on. You are not getting what I'm saying. It shall not return empty. not return void. Number two, the word shall not return ineffectual. The word effectual means divinely energized. When something is divinely energized, then that thing is powered by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes they say powered by Android. And in these days, the advertisement will say powered by this radio station or this television station. And I'm saying that your life, your spiritual battery is powered by the Holy Spirit. It is divinely energized. And as long as you stay in touch and in fellowship with the Word and with the Spirit of God, your life will be divinely energized. And words that have been spoken by God will never become deflated. They will never become like flat tire. They will never go and return with nothing. They will not come back empty. Oh, come on. Can I hear an amen? They will not come back ineffectual. They will be effectual. They will be divinely energized. Along the line, they will be working. The power that took it is the same power that will bring the miracle. It shall not return void also means it shall not fail. It shall not be frustrated. It shall not be brought to naught. So God's word shall not fail. God says, I'm not like man that I should lie. Neither am I like the son of man that I should repent. Have I not said it and will I not do it good? God's word will not return void. I say God's word that is being sent forth that you are hearing or have heard in time past. I say God's word will never return void. Oh, some people are not convinced. They want me to work something out before they see. I say, God's word that I'm declaring into your life right now concerning certain aspects of your life and your whole life will never return void. It will never return empty. It will never return ineffectual. It will never return worthless. It will never return in vain. It will not fail. It shall not be frustrated. It shall not be brought to naught. Satan cannot stop the word because the word is too hot for the enemy to handle it. Demons cannot stop the word. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I say witchcraft cannot stop the word. So when the word is declared, it cannot be stopped. If I tell you my own words, it may be stopped. If I tell you a fable about Anansi or an Aesop fable, it can be stopped. If I tell you my own testimony, it may be stopped. But if what I say is rooted in the word of God, it can never be stopped. It can never be handled because the word will travel on its own axis. It will not return void. Oh, come on. No. No. If the word was intended to deliver you in an area, the word will not just go and waste. No. Or dissipate the word with the potency of that deliverance continue on its own axis until it locates you. Come on. If it is 2 days, the word will go round. If it is 3 months, the word will keep going round. If it is 5 years, the word will keep going around. If it is 30 years, that's why God spoke his word to Abraham. And after 25 years, that word was confirmed in his life. Just before I came to preach, I heard on radio that a woman delivered at the age of 53. I know others have delivered even at a higher age, but the word sent for shall not return empty nor ineffectual. It shall not return in vain. It shall not be frustrated. Come on. It cannot. It cannot be stopped by men. It cannot be stopped by evil spirits. It cannot be stopped by the demons in your background. Don't act as if the demons in your background have more power than the word. I am saying that when you open your mouth and declare the word over your life, whatever circumstance you are in, the word is greater than your circumstance. The word is greater than your challenge. The word is greater than your situation. And the word will deliver what it was sent out for. Oh, shout an amen and let me know you know what you are saying. The word shall not return void. But it says, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now let me explain the word sent. The word sent there means to shoot forth or to stretch forth. The word may be on the black and white pages of the Bible, but you have to shoot it forth. Oh, I'm not encouraging that which some of the prophets are saying, say, shoot the devil, be. No, that's not what I'm saying. I am saying that like Jesus declared, it is written, he was shooting the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, he was shooting the word. Where the enemy has covered with care, stretch the word to cover with blessing. Where the enemy has attacked with sickness, stretch the word to cover with healing. Ah, come on. Where the enemy has covered with failure, stretch the word that success shall reach that place. Until you stretch the word, the situation does not change. But today we stretch the word to touch exactly where it must touch. The word will touch exactly in the place you have been believing God, in the place you have been calling upon God and crying upon Jehovah for some salvation. The word will touch there. Shout the real yeah. The Bible says, it shall not return void, but it shall accomplish. The word accomplish means to carry out, to perform, finish successfully, execute. I'm giving you meanings from the original. Execute, bring to completion, get it done. Accomplish. I say, God says, and I'm saying his word, that his word sent in your life shall accomplish that which he pleases. It shall carry out. It shall execute. It shall perform. It shall finish successfully. It shall bring to completion. It shall get the work done. The word is not intended to just take an excursion around you. The word sent is a serious business. And that word must materialize. That word, like Christ was sent from heaven and he took upon himself flesh and dwelt and tabernacled amongst men, the word will take on that flesh and it will manifest. It will manifest as your house. Manifest as your car. Manifest as an increase and improved bank account. Manifest as good marriage. Manifest as progress in business. Manifest as healing in your physical body or sustained divine health. It will manifest. Oh, somebody shout amen. So the word will not return void. It will not come back empty. It will not be ineffectual. It will not be worthless. It will not be vain. It will not fail. It shall not be frustrated. The word shall not come to naught. But the word shot out and stretched to cover the place which it must, that word shall accomplish. It shall carry out. It shall perform. It shall successfully finish. It shall execute. It shall bring to completion. It shall get the work done. Until then, nobody can cut your life short from this earth. If I were preaching elsewhere, I'll get a bigger amen. Because when a preacher is with you, you take the words for granted. I say, can I hear a better amen? You don't need the one near you to say amen before you say amen. Your challenges are different from their challenges. Your inspiration may be different from their inspiration. Don't let an uninspired person who keeps quiet be your standard. The Bible says it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. That word prosper in the original means to push forward. There are things that want to draw us back, but God will push us forward. There are things that are opposing us and trying to counteract us and trying to force us to lose ground, but we will gain more grounds because something will propel us forward. Something is pushing us forward. It is the grace of God. It's the power of divine blessing. It's the power of divine prosperity. Let that power of God propel you and take you forward. The word prosper, number two, means to break out. Oh, when a life is hemmed in, all you need is to break out. When prison gates have been set against you, all you need is to break out. Oh, as long as that creature is still in at the egg stage, it remains so. But it gets to a stage, you will find that the little chicken begins to use its beak to peck from the inside of the egg and break the shell and break out. I see the word giving you a supernatural beak. And you are pecking from the inside. But very soon you will come out. You will come out. You will come out. You will come out of the setback. You will come out of the disappointment. You will come out of the depression. I say you will come out of failure. You will come out of reproach. You are coming out. You are coming out. You are coming out. You are coming out. Egypt, Israel were in Egypt for over 400 years. But when the time came for the power to push them, it did push them and they broke out of that situation. I say you are breaking out. Some of you have been marking time at the same financial level, which is not helping you. Although inflation is running faster, your income seems to have been stabilized in an ungodly fashion. I say, may the power of God push your income forward. May the power of God push your salary to the next higher level. Oh, come on. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? May God push you from one accommodation to a better accommodation. May the Lord push you from one means of transportation to a better means of transportation. In the name of Jesus, may you break out of your confinement. Break out of your limitation. In the name of Jesus Christ, break out. You cannot be employed as a messenger and retire as a messenger. You cannot be employed as a cleaner and die as a cleaner. You must progress. There must be a career progression. You cannot be born in a single room and die in that same single room. There is a power of God that will lift you out of it. Satan will want to hem you in, but get out, get out, get out, get out, get out. Tell somebody with a high five, I'm coming out, brother. I'm coming out. You have to apply force and some spiritual jiggity. I am coming out. Oh, come on. Give a high five to 11 other people. 11 other people. And tell them I'm coming out. By the grace of God, I'm coming out. By the power of the Spirit, I'm coming out. I'm coming out of my debts. I'm coming out of business recession. I am coming out of bad grace in examination. I'm coming out of spinsterhood and bachelorhood. If I've attained the marriageable age, I'm coming out of bad academic results. I'm coming out of lack of finances every time. I'm coming out. I'm coming out of the poor accommodation where there are gutters behind the house and they smell and all kinds of flies. When you want to, I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out of childlessness. I'm coming out. I leave that domain. I am out. Oh, they sought for Enoch in one domain, but by the time they got there, God had translated it and Enoch was not found there. May you be translated to another domain. I am coming out. You may be seeing me preaching on one platform right now, but I'm coming out. I'm coming out onto a higher platform, to higher doors and opportunities open. I am coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out of wicked budget upon myself. I'm coming out when I'm paid, then I'm not happy. Oh, utilities, collect all the money.
the people I'm indebted to, then I pay. Transportation wants to lick the rest. And every time I'm not happy, then pastor says, give your tithe and offering. I get annoyed with pastor. But I'm coming out. I'm coming out. A time will come when I'll be writing checks in six figures as my tithe. So guess how much I must have had before. Oh, come on. Your amen should have been more than that. I said you'd be writing checks in six figures as your tithe. So guess how much you must have had. Oh, I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm really coming out. I mean it. I'm not joking. I'm coming out. Coming out. Coming out of evil. Coming out. Coming out of temptations. Coming out of sin. Coming out. Coming out. So the Bible says, it shall prosper, which means it shall push forward. May the Lord push you forward. Stop talking about the things which have pushed you backwards. And pastor, whatever I touched, that's no way. And when I touched it, I saw yokegari, it didn't work. I saw ayebetatali, it didn't work. I saw yakeyake, it didn't work. I sold Atabulu Junction, it didn't work. But I tell you, there's a power that propels you forward. And that power is what I bring to you. I serve it to you free on a silver platter by reason of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I serve you free of charge. Take it. Take it by the power of God. Take it. Take it. Take it by the power of God. There's a power that is propelling us forward. And that is why you must always acknowledge God when you prosper. Don't come and stand and testify as if you are worked by yourself. Please be careful. Recognize the grace of God. Let your spirit be sincerely humble and acknowledge that He alone has lifted you up. Amen. Something is pushing me forward. Not for evil, but good. Not into the wrong place, but the right place. Not into the place where there's desolation, but the place of abundance. Not into the place of reproach and shame, but to the place of glory, honor, and upliftness. Something is pushing me forward. Something is pushing me forward. I cannot go back. I cannot go back. I cannot fail. I shall not be counted in the statistics of the people that were casualties. No. I will start well and I will finish well. I cannot go back. In the name of Jesus, I cannot go. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. Oh. I'm jumping out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out of premature death. I'm out. I'm out of sickness, disease that is intended to kill. I say, I am out. I don't know about. I am out. I am out of a car crash. I am out of a plane crash. I am out of a domestic accident on a byway and a highway. I am out. Don't count me. I am with the children of God in the land of the living to share the testimonies of God. I am out. I'm out. So prosper, number three, means to be profitable. You know, some people have all kinds of theory. They say, it's a demon of promise and fail. You are either blessed to prosper or you haven't been blessed. So it's not a demon of promise and fail. You say, it's a demon, it's a backlog spirit. No. You are either blessed to prosper or you are not blessed. But I bring to you that which will push you forward. I say I bring to you that which will make you break out. And on top of it, I bring to you that which will make your life very, very profitable. You will sow one and you harvest 1,000. I say you will sow 2 and 10,000 returns shall come. By the time you sow 3, 1 million returns are already coming. A little shall return much. A small effort shall return with a corresponding greater blessing. Number four, prosper means come mightily. There are some things that don't come ordinarily. There are some floods, when they are coming, they come mightily. Like the tsunami that struck in Japan years ago. It came mightily, did not just carry houses, carry ships from the sea to land. And the Bible says, in your day of manifestation, you shall come mightily. I see you coming mightily. You are not coming with your back bent. You are not coming weak and frail. You are not coming depressed and dejected and wounded and destroyed without a future and hopeless. You are coming mightily. You are coming in the fullness of the power of God. You are coming in the anointing of God. You cannot be withstood by any power of darkness. I'm declaring you shall not be opposed by any non-demon. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You cannot be stopped by any curse, and you shall not be limited by any negative pronouncement of men or spirits of darkness. I declare you are coming mightily. Mightily. Oh, give three people around you a high five and say, mightily, you are coming out. You are not just being delivered ordinarily. You are coming out mightily. So the word here is saying, just as water goes through a cycle. The cycle is rainfalls. Heat comes from the sun. The water evaporates. There is condensation up there. And then finally water falls back as rain. The Bible says just as the rain and snow go through this cycle, so shall my word. My word shall come down. The rain of it shall fall. The sun, Jesus Christ, shall shine. And his word shall go up again. There will be spiritual condensation up there. And the word will come down and bless you. And the word, the same word will keep blessing you. That's why you don't need five prophets to say the same thing before you believe. Because one word can carry you for the rest of your life. You don't need to surround yourself with all kinds of people, whether sincere or not sincere, true or not true. But one word, the centurion said, Lord, speak to me one word. One word. We'll go through that cycle and it will come down and go up again and come down and bless you. The same word will travel on its orbit, one word. So when you receive two words, oh, come on, you must be running. You must be accelerating. You must be overtaking. You must be breaking through. You must be getting established. You must be flourishing. You must be increasing. One word. In Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10, the Bible says that declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, Isaiah 46, 10, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Declaring the end from the beginning. When God hasn't got a land yet to build, he says, I have a 1 acre land. Then God says the land is registered in my name. Then God says that the foundation has started and the superstructure is on. It has reached lintel and roofing stage. It is completed. All the things that are to be installed inside are being installed. There is furniture in the bedrooms, furniture, electrical gadgets. From the beginning, God declares the end. Can't you copy God? When you were in class one, you knew how to copy. The other student who was better than you, you turned your head back, oh, sue. And if the person was wrong, you were wrong. Because you were copying and you look over your shoulders and the person had answered for and you wrote for. Meanwhile, you hadn't got the systematic step to be there. But now that it's time to copy God, you are not copying God. He declares the end from the beginning. And you must declare the end from the beginning. That's why you must stand and say, I shall be married by his grace. That marriage shall be very great. It shall be to an honorable man, honorable woman. It shall be a grand ceremony. After the wedding, there shall be no regrets. There shall be joy, fulfillment, establishment. Children shall appear in the marriage. And every good thing ordained by God shall happen to him. Declare the beginning from the end. Oh, somebody must be clapping because that is why we are supposed to pray. Declaring the end of your travel from the beginning. Declaring your results for the examination from the beginning. And the Spirit of God will begin to guide you to study. If you don't say anything, nothing guides you. Declaring your business will make it. I may have started on the table selling 6 tins of milk and some sugar tied in small polythene bags. But I declare the end from the beginning that from here I shall graduate to the next higher level. Either into a container, from there I shall move into a shop. It shall be located in a very strategic place. And I will have people supplying all goods. And I'll have branches of those things all over the place. I'm declaring the end from the beginning. Somebody say amen. You can even name your child now. Say, Lord, if it's a boy, I call him this. And if it's a girl, I call him that. And if they are both boys and girls, then I call I get ready for the third name, Lord. I didn't hear an amen. Declaring the end from the beginning. You may be in debt, but you say, I'm out of debt. The Lord will settle all my debts. He will provide. It shall not be long. I shall be walking and giving out to people, declaring the end from the beginning. My life shall not be like this forever. No, something will change in my life. Declare the end from the beginning. And that's what prayer is about. You must see the end. You must visualize a good end. Otherwise, your prayer is a waste of words. That's why the Bible encourages us to study the scriptures so that it will bring pictorial memories of excellence carved out of the will of God for us. Then when we stand and bear that picture, we travel with it until we give birth to what we are seeing. I say, whoever goes to the maternity ward, whoever sees the midwife, whoever is handled by the doctor pregnant, you will go to the hospital, deliver safely. I'm saying the word, though, even to those who are not married yet. By the time they marry, the word will work for them. So you can say a big amen as well. You can receive it for your grandchildren. So I'm saying that with you, anybody that goes to the hospital or wherever to deliver, whether delivering cow or whatever, shall return with a baby and mother. They shall both be doing well. The word declared is powerful. And we must work under inspiration. Work under inspiration. Work under inspiration to conclude. To conclude. Isaiah 44, 26 is the same as the Isaiah 55. Isaiah 44, 26 says, that confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his servant that saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited. See, at that time, Jerusalem was desolate because they had gone against God. But he said, in the midst of this desolation, you will say to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited. I say to True Vine, thou shalt be inhabited. And it says, to the cities of Judah, you shall be built. I say to your family, it shall be built. I said to the projects you're undertaking, they shall be completed in the name of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to conclude, and ye shall, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. May the Lord raise up those places that were decayed and restore life and vibrancy, buoyancy. May he restore favor. May he restore grace in the name of Jesus. He says, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth. Oh, thank you, brother. So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall not come empty. It shall not come ineffectual. It shall not come worthless. It shall not come with vain. It shall not come failing. It cannot be frustrated. It shall not be brought to naught. But it shall accomplish. It shall carry out, perform, finish successfully, execute and bring to completion and get the work done. It shall accomplish that which I please, not what the devil pleases. Not what men are using against you, that which I please. And it shall prosper. Oh boy, I love that word. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Something will push it forward. Something will cause it to break out. Something will make it profitable. Something will make it come out mightily. Something will make it go over. You cannot say that you will not make it. That power is taken away from you. You cannot say that this is how you remain. No, that opportunity is taken away from you. Say amen. You cannot say that you are under a curse. No, that privilege of being under a curse is taken away from you today. I take it away from you in Jesus' name. You cannot say that the witches are causing divorce in my family. No, that power is denied you. Denied the devil from working in your life. But you can say that the word of God sent out on my behalf shall not return void, but shall accomplish the very purpose for which it was sent. If I have witnesses here, you have been clapping, but I've never heard your loudest clap and your biggest shout. Let me have a little feel of it. You have been shouting. I've never heard your biggest shout. Never heard your loudest clap. See, your spirit is clear. Your mind is clear. To sustain it, you need to study the word. Listen to the word. Meditate on the word. Continue in prayer. You will realize you stay buoyant because the word has been declared over you. May the Lord bless you and may he cause you to prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. Oh, somebody, you are not rejoicing. The psalmist said, I rejoice at that word.
Thank you for listening to this message. We sincerely hope you are blessed. For more information on these podcasts, email us at tetejangma@yahoo.com or call us on 0249-333-575. Stay blessed.